radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 11. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
We came back after 2 weeks hiatus. We did our outside services, and everybody was excited when they were going to flatten the curve. And guess what, folks? I got good news for you. We flattened the curve. So what are we still doing here? You know, trying to struggle to get past everything. Well, another statement, another day. But we were out there trying to do our part for 2 weeks. We came back. Everybody was excited. But you remember what happened, right? 3 or 4 cars' batteries died because they're trying to listen to the radio while we were doing that. And everybody who had jumper cables were excited. I had my jumper cables. Had them for 10 years, never needed them, and you got to jump each other's car. I had a little jumper box, and we got to take that around. People were like, where'd you get that? I need one of those. Probably still haven't used it, but you might have bought one, you know. Here's the point, is that we have a need to be unhindered, to see ourselves as sinners, and God will use the throes of being on the cutting edge to bring all that stuff to the surface. And then we can boldly say, Father, forgive us our sins, just as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Which, you know, that's the concept. Everyone that is indebted to us. You see, when we hold something over somebody's head, we're saying, you owe me. Well, listen, we owe God. Do we not? We owe God, right? He forgives every morning. His mercies are new every morning. He separated our sins as far as the east is from the west. He buried them in the deepest sea, never to be remembered against you anymore. What do we owe him for that? We owe him everything. And so when you see this unfolding a little different, he's dealing with people who are up close, even leaning in on the front seat and saying, put me in, coach. How do I pray? He says, you need to pray like this. Forgive us our sins, just as we forgive those indebted to us. I'm mindful of the passage in the Psalms where it talks to us about, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. You see, it's not because he can't. It's because we won't be praying. One of the biggest blockages to a life of prayer is sin in the heart and sin in the life. We have to crucify it because it's your impediment. I was working with a sprayer for spraying my fence recently. I have a sprayer and it just wouldn't work, and I kept finding little impediments. I had to get down to really digging into that thing and opening it up and find that one little piece of chippy old paint that got in there and just stopped it. That's what happens to us in prayer. We don't pray because many times we let life kind of catapult us forward without doing it for a while. We mount up a little bit of a sin or two, and maybe 5 and 10, maybe get a few more, and pretty soon it's like easy not to. It's almost like we think maybe he won't notice. The issue is not whether he'll notice. He notices. The issue is whether we will notice. Are we mounting up with wings as eagles? Are we running and not being weary? Are we walking and not fainting? Because that's what he's after in these men. He's training them. If I could title this particular chapter for us, because it comes into play at the end, is I would entitle this, The Key to Knowledge. Much is spoken here about the Holy Spirit. And you're going to see that as it unfolds. But what I want you to know is the key to knowledge is being set before you and me. And there's a knowledge in Christ that is personal. It's that which God Himself wants you to enjoy and own. We're told that we're to take His yoke upon us. You know, you can't be in the yoke with him leading without thinking, I got to look at him for a couple seconds. Where are we going? Is he turning? You know, the whole concept of just being so close to co-laborers with him. What about this? Joint heirs with him. We're going to be married to him. What about this? We are his body. Remember that? These are the things we have to get our minds around, not to be tossed to and fro. And if we're going to be his true disciples, we're going to need the secret of knowledge. And the secret of knowledge is what the Pharisees, scribes, and lawyers kept from the people in his day. And so he will dress them down deliberately for that. He says in verse 4 again, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now the word everyone is interesting. It's not everyone, it's everyone. Do you know when Jesus was getting ready to endure the cross, he was with his disciples up in the upper room, and he talked about how after he had washed their feet that they needed to do that for one another. And what he was doing in that setting was he was telling them and explaining to them as they said, "No, no, Lord, don't wash my feet." And of course, Peter said, "If you're going to have to wash my feet, wash my head, my hands." And he gave the message. He says, "A man who is cleansed completely except for his feet." And he says, "What I've done for you right now, you need to do for one another." He, again, was preparing them for when one of their own members would deceive and would sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. And they would be decimated by the betrayal. And he says, "You're going to need to do this for one another. Every one. As we forgive every one." Because if you allow yourself to embrace some kind of a hurt and a hate, you will find yourself being eaten up by it. The Bible talks about let no root of bitterness take root in you, lest many be defiled. He says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.'" Now, I want to kind of unpack this a little bit. The word "and" in verse 5, he says, "And he said unto them." A better translation would be, because we are working with words that are clumsy, trying to take Greek and put it into English. One actually says it this way, and it's the New American Standard. It says, "Then he said." So we understand, perhaps, intuitively, that this is a connective to the one before. But he's teaching them to pray. And what he's going to tell them to do is he's going to tell them the things he's already said, but then he's going to give an illustration of what that looks like. One of the hitches we might have with the Father is that we think he won't listen to us or he won't answer us. And we're like, "It's me. Oh, he's got better things to do. What about the old argument? I'm so smart. So, you know, he already knows. So I don't need to ask." No, 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 no. Rain on all that. What he does is he points out that he is someone you can go to. He says, "I've been praying. This is how you need to pray. You need to keep the conduit open of blessing and grace and the Spirit of God in your life." And the only way to do that is to be a person who is untethered to this world and earthboundness. And he uses as an illustration a man who has a friend come. He goes to his friend's house and he says, "Hey, I got a friend over here who needs some food." And it's in the middle of the night. And he says, "What one of you would have a friend you'd go to and you'd knock on his door, ask for something, and he would shout from his bedroom, 'I'm not coming out. I'm in my bed with my children.'" He says, "No, you're knocking on the door. The guy's going to show up at the door. He's going to have his silly hat on that they had back in England, you know. He's in bed and he's got his robe on and his silly hat for his head because it's cold in those days or whatever. You can picture it." He'd say, "What are you doing here? Why are you here? It's the middle of the night." Jesus says, "What one of you would have a friend like that who would shout from his bed, stay in his place, and not be moved?" He says in verse 8, "I say to you, though he will not rise for him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." In other words, just because he went and asked, the guy had already to get up and listen. He's saying just as simple as that. Now, the real key to this is the word importunity. The word means the shamelessness. You know, sometimes if you're a person who has those Emily Post standards, some people don't even know who that is. But, you know, what's proper etiquette about calling people? Well, don't call them before 9 and don't call them after 9. Maybe that's a good thing. Don't call guys at 9:30. Too late to call. What about the person who calls at 10:30 and 11 just to, "Hey, what's up?" You know. You're like, "Oh, me? I'm up." You know, so the whole thing I'm trying to say is this person shameless? They're coming in the middle of the night. Now, back then, they didn't have electricity. So, you know, the sun goes down early, sometimes even more than other times. And they're in bed, man. They've been in bed for a while. You just wrecked their night. But he's saying, listen, just because you shamelessly knocked on the door, he will be there. And he says, listen, that's the way you need to realize God is. God just wants you to be
shameless in coming to Him.
Just don't think about yourself. Think about who He is. He's your friend. He is for you. He loves you. You want to know how to pray? Go to Him and just do it. Because He's good. He goes further and he says, what you need to realize is because of this importunity, He will give to you as much as He needs. And in verse 9 he says, you need to ask, it will be given, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened. Do you see the acrostic there? Ask, seek, knock, that's ask! As if to punctuate it, for we who have an English translation, that's pretty amazing. Ask, seek, knock, ask! Just go! Teach us to pray, Lord. Get your sins up to date. Get your accounts current. Keep them current. And just ask. Now listen, that's a recipe for revival. Go back and listen to it on the radio. I'm telling you, that's the recipe for revival. Getting our hearts untethered from this world, going to our Father and asking Him for the things we really, really desire. Now listen, this is not a blank check that says I can ask whatever I will. Other places it's qualified. If you ask anything according to His will, He doesn't have to do that here because these guys are in the afterglow. Teach us to pray. So they're asking from hearts that are leaning in. They're already excited. They want to know how to find more of this good that I found. And so He tells them this. If a son has bread, verse 11, would you give him a stone? If he asks a fish, would you give him a serpent? And notice how He winds it down in verse 13. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good son to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, underline these words, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit Himself prays for us, helping our infirmities because we don't know how to ask. When they ask, teach us to pray, what they were really asking, as we see this unfold, is they're asking us, how can we stay in tune with the Spirit we've been in? Something's in there you're doing that's working for you. What do we need to do? Well, you're asking for the Spirit of God to continue to fill you. To continue to fill you. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want Him to just continue to flow? Don't you just want to know He's right there in the car with you? Don't you just want to know that He's smiling at your energies and efforts? Don't you just want to know that His face is toward you? His countenance is lifted up upon you. He's given you grace. He's given you peace. Don't you just want to know that? If we're honest, we'd have to say sometimes more than others. But this is a reminder. That's what you're asking for. If you're saying, oh God, I don't know what's going on, He's saying you're looking for me, aren't you? And that's good, actually. You keep doing that. And so what He does is He says, how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit when you ask Him? Verse 14, it says, and this also is another place where it could be now. One translation says, now He was casting out a devil and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out of the dumb, that the dumb spake. And the people wondered. Now this is where we get into a narrative of Jesus casting out a demon, and the naysayers and His adversaries, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and lawyers, they're all saying, well, He's doing that by Beelzebub. Okay, now, what is He really doing it by? He's doing it by the Spirit of the living God. So we got the Spirit of God talking again here. This first talk was all about, you want the Spirit of God? That's what you need. You keep asking, and God will see to it that He continues to flow in your life. This Christian life is not for nothing, okay? It's for something. And so when we realize that God fills us when we desire that, and that's why we're left with the responsibility, as Paul says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You know, the whole concept of your responsibility and my responsibility, we need to be being filled. And He leaves that with us to desire it. Well, so here He is casting out a demon. And the conversation comes back around to the Holy Spirit, but in verse 14 it says He cast out a dumb spirit.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.